That was a lovely piece of music there with the cello. I love the cello. It's a beautiful instrument, isn't it? Is anybody a cellist here? I was trying to recruit someone, Leah. One of the things that we forgot to mention was, you know what, we've got booklets for Ben and Megan. We didn't present them this morning because I know that sometimes we're a little bit forgetful, or maybe we leave it to the very last minute to write in. So those booklets are still on the welcome desk in the foyer. They will be presented tonight to Ben and Meg. So if you do not write in them, you will not be writing in them, okay? So please, if you need that opportunity, take that, and that would be great to do that. You know, a couple of years ago, I meant to do the Bible reading this morning. Yeah, no, that's right, Cam, come on. If you've got a Bible, turn it up to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses from verse 15. So if you've got a Bible, great to have it open. We've been looking at this chapter for this book for a number of weeks. It says this in verse 15, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil.' In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." A couple of years ago, I was involved in a leadership exercise, and I'm going to invite you to participate in that this morning. Up here on the screen is a screen with half a dozen characteristics of leaders. And so what I'm actually asking you to do is to rank them as to what you think is the most, from what you think is the most important to the least important. So for those of you who have done this before, or if you haven't done this, you got permission to take out your phone. There's a QR code there, so you just take a thing of the QR code. It will take you to an area. Now, if you want to do this with the person beside you, you're welcome to do that. But what I want you to do is to rank them from what's the most important to the least important. So kind of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Connection and relational warmth. I need someone who can build a strong team, has empathy and good communication. Adaptability and context awareness. Well, your leadership responds to the situation that we're in. You recognize that there's a context to the way in which we live. Another one is kind of intelligence and competence. They've got an ability to lead and work through tasks, make good decisions. Trustworthy and honest. They have integrity of character. They're ethical. Charismatic and dynamic, a person who's willing to drive change, they inspire, there's got a confidence around them. Responsible and accountable, they take ownership, they are accountable for the situations, whether it's good or bad. What do you think is the most important in that situation? These answers are coming up there on the screen as you're filling in those details. It's not telling me how many have responded. 20. Is it? No, 20 out of 7 or 70. Lots of people filling them in. I'm going to give you another minute. You can actually talk to the person beside you. You're allowed to do that today. Maybe even look over their shoulder and check out what their answers are if they were correct. It's always interesting when answers kind of go up on the screen, there's always a temptation to say, I must do the same as the one that's up on the screen. Maybe there's some of us here who are kind of rebels by nature and we think, I'm going to do something that's different. Fantastic. Can I say you should give yourselves all a big round of applause because you've got the answer right. You've got the answer right. From all the research that I've ever read, different ones of these are in different orders, but always, always number one is trust. Always it is the most significant aspect of a leader that people are looking for. It's above intelligence, it's above charisma, it's above competency. Trust is always number one. The others might change order, but over the past 50 years of research that I've seen, trust is always number one. How many people here have ever heard of the acronym WYSIWYG? If you're older like me, you've heard of the term WYSIWYG. WYSIWYG was a kind of an early computer term, stands for what you see is what you get. It was meant to be, if you see it on the screen like that, you can print it out like that. Well, I have a friend whose life mantra in this is, you ready for this? Dwizzywid. It's up there on the screen. Dwizzywid. Can you turn to the person beside you and see if you can work out what it means? See if you can work out what it means. You getting there? Dwizzywid. Dwizzywid. This is the mantra that he uses and he's tried, he tells me, to teach his family. It stands for, do what you say you... Fantastic. Because not only as leaders, but as people, we need to be trustworthy, don't we? There's a real truth that consistency between what we believe and how we behave builds credibility. In many ways, our character is proven when our words and our actions, there's a unity amongst them, isn't there? And Paul, in this intensely personal letter, he wants Timothy to know this above all else. He wants to give him advice, important advice for life, how he follows Jesus, how he serves Jesus, but he wants his life to match up with his words. And these were difficult times that they lived in. It would have been nice, you know, towards the end of Paul's life to write him a nice cruisy letter. Here I am lying on the Mediterranean beach, wish you were here. But that's not true. Paul is in a jail. His letter reads like a warning. It's aware of the harsh realities of life, and he doesn't run away from them, he faces them head on. And there are things in life and ministry that require wisdom and courage and leadership. Paul himself understood that life. You think of all the things that he endured, stonings, beatings, shipwreck, conflict, abuse, jail. When he writes these words, they're not coming from an ivory tower. They're coming from someone who's been in the trenches. He knew himself what it was to persist and to endure, to keep on going, to work hard in life. Paul knew that, and so he can pass that message on to Timothy. If you were here with us last week, Cam emphasized the gift of turning up. The gift of turning up when you're passing someone. Maybe it's kind of one of the most underrated of gifts. The truth is, it's not really a gift. It's a character trait. Turning up. Persistence, endurance, keeping going when everything's telling at you to stop or to chuck it in. Listen to the language of the first couple of chapters that we've read. In chapter 1, verse 7, don't be timid, but have power and self-discipline. In verse 8, don't be ashamed. In verse 12, I'm suffering in prison. Verse 13, hold on. Verse 14, guard the precious truth. Verse 15, everyone has deserted me. Chapter 2, verse 1, be strong. Verse 3, endure suffering. In verse 10, I'm willing to endure. That's not a postcard from the Mediterranean. That's a letter from jail. That's a letter in the midst of tough times because character needs to endure and persevere. The truth is that following Jesus is not easy. It's not cheap. That's what makes it so valuable. If you want to make a difference in this world, If you want to see people impacted for Jesus, there's a price that is often paid. Your life needs to measure up to your words. And so this is the encouragement that Timothy receives from Paul. Persist, keep on going, turn up. Why? Because when there's consistency between what we believe and what we behave, it builds credibility, doesn't it? That's why you need to keep on doing it. You know, one of the realities of Timothy's context was that he was facing a challenge to the truth of the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus. Cam shared this verse last week about passing it on in all sorts of different ways. Chapter 2, verse 2, I just mentioned it to Ben. You've heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will again pass it on to other people. Paul is imploring Timothy to pass on the truth of the good news of Jesus. You've heard me teach these things. The things that he was talking about him teaching was the truth of the good news of Jesus. You teach those same truths. What was that message? That message fundamentally were these three things: that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came to earth, that he lived, and that he died, and that he rose again on the third day. They are the fundamental things that they're referring to in chapter 2, verse 2, right there. Now, Timothy at this point in time is the pastor of the church at Ephesus when he receives this letter. And his central opposition, the challenge that he faced, was from people who were teaching heresy, not the truth. That was what the conflict was about, a fight over truth. And Paul, in his, how can we say this, sledgehammer ways, calls the people out. In chapter 1, we read this: as you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, it's a real tongue twister today, so I haven't asked too many people to do the readings. There's some names that are crackers. Well, he calls these two out in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, he names two others, Phygellus and Hermogenes. Sorry, he names two more, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says they've left the path of truth, claimed the resurrection of the dead had already occurred. There's a fight for truth going on in the church at Ephesus. And Paul is saying to Timothy is that the truth of the good news of Jesus is worth fighting for. These two others, they have abandoned. They've abandoned that truth. And not only that, they've turned other people away as well. They've taken other people along with them. And Paul calls them out. Can you imagine being one of those two guys who are being called out by the Apostle Paul? Kind of a little bit of a black mark against your name. Paul brings them up for a special mention because he recognizes that they have caused significant pain. They were the main cause of trouble. Now, I haven't spoken to Megs about this, but I've spoken to many other teachers. And many teachers will tell me it's really difficult when it comes to naming your children. Any teachers here who have ever experienced that? Look at the bunch of them. It's really difficult because in their mind, they have a name and maybe a student who caused them some issues. It seems to be a really common experience. Well, can I say that I suspect in the first century registry office, there wasn't a rush on the names Hymenaeus and Philetus. These people were called out. Now, my name, Andrew, for those of you who don't know me, well, that's been a well-known name because Andrew, he's a good guy. Andrew's the guy who brings people to Jesus. But Philetus and Hymenaeus, they abandoned their faith. You don't hear their names today, do you? They've been called out. Cling to your faith. Well, Hymenaeus, in fact, he actually was known for this baggage and this pain that he had caused it. We'd heard about him before in Paul's first letter to Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 19 of his first letter, which is a number of years before the second one. Cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and I love this expression, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. And then he names Hymenaeus. This guy had been around for a number of years, causing pain and destruction because of the heresy that he was speaking. He claimed, for those of you who are interested in this, he claimed that the resurrection of the dead had already happened. People had already gone through that part, in a sense, of the timeline of the of Christian life and experience and history. And so it really didn't matter what you did with your life, because the events of the second resurrection had already happened. And so they caused this pain everywhere. And Paul takes this incredibly serious. He shipwrecked his faith. I've delivered him over to Satan. What that really means is that they had excommunicated him from the church. He had been put there with the hope that he would repent and bring change to his life. It reminds me that words have meaning and value. Truth is important. In fact, one of the things that we'll focus on next week is as the Word of God, as truth. Truth is worth fighting for. In verse 17, this kind of talk spreads like cancer. That's why it's worth fighting for. There's a famous quote from Ernest Hemingway when he was asked this question, how did you go bankrupt? Gradually, then suddenly. Bit by bit, and then all of a sudden realized bankruptcy. I've heard the same principle applied to an affair. How did it happen? Slowly, and then all of a sudden. We could say the same thing happens with heresy. How does it happen? Bit by bit. It spreads cell to cell like a cancer. Some translations, and in fact, this is actually a really good interpretation of the word, use it gangrenous. In that it just goes from bit to bit to bit, slowly creeps up. And we might think about what's the truth that we struggle with today in the world. Sometimes there is challenges to what the good news of Jesus is. Follow Jesus and everything will be all right. Jesus will bring a prosperity to your life. It's a false truth. It's a heresy. There's things about distortions of power that happen in the Christian church today. Things about nationalism and who God's people are. Things which are heresy that will cause pain, because truth is easily lost. How do we lose it? Gradually. And then suddenly, one small lie, another small lie, and soon it's shipwrecked. Well, in the face of that opposition that Timothy was facing, Paul now offers some advice. It's helpful because his experience, and he wants to say to Timothy, you need to stand for what is true. You need to lead the people through this trial. And for you to be able to do it, for you to be able to be credible in what you do, you need to have a consistency between what you believe and how you behave. And Paul wants him to meet that challenge face on. He wants him to live a life that is credible. So what's the pathway? Well, this is the wonderful bits of advice, and I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time going through this, because you know what? You guys are very intelligent, and you'll pick it up in a hurry. His advice starts like this. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. You know what the best translation of that is? Now, if I had my friend Leah up here, Leah would have an enormous grin on her face, because it's just waiting for a line here. If you're feeling guilty today, in the thunder and the lightning, one of Leah's catchphrases is, do your best. In fact, that's actually even better translation than work hard. In the NIV, it uses it. Do your best to present yourself to God. It's the same word that's used in Ephesians 4. Make every effort. That's the same word. In Thessalonians, it says, dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated you from a while, we tried very hard. Do your best. It's that same word. We tried very hard. We made every effort. Do your best. He's saying, choose a pathway that leads to, well, he gives an illustration. He says that in the average household, and the text is up there on the screen, you can read it while I'm talking here. In every household of those days, there were two types of utensils. They were kind of the finery and the everyday ones. Now, we think of that in the 21st century as kind of, you know, like we've got our good silver for when people come around, and then the kind of the everyday stuff. That's actually not what this means. In those ancient times, the everyday utensils were used for things like cleaning, separating the toilet components. They were things which were used for the dirty things of life. The things that he's talking about here is honourable. They were the things that people ate with. They were not like, it's not like one was brought out once a year and one was used every day. No. One was used for certain activities and the other one was used for less hygienic activities. He's saying if you want a life that is honourable, if you want a life that in a sense brings pleasure to God, live this way. Live this way, which has consistency between what you do and what you say. How do you do that? Well, in the rest of this text, I'm just going to give you the verbs, right, in here, and you can work out what they might mean for you. All right? So in verse 15, we started out, here it is up on the screen. It says, do your best. There's a verb. In verse 16, it says, avoid. Avoid. For Timothy, that meant avoid meaningless words. Avoid words that have no value, that flatter and deceive, that gossip. He says, avoid. The third thing, he says, keep yourself pure. In verse 21, keep yourself pure. And in verse 22, he gets super excited and has a bunch of verbs. You ready for them? He says, run, run, run from anything, anything that pulls you back. And because Timothy's a younger guy, he names some things that are an issue for a younger guy. Run from lust, from anger, from immorality, from greed. You could put your own line in there. Run. And then he goes on, he says, pursue. Because this is the other side of the coin. If you're going to run from something, you need to run to something, don't you? And he says, run to something. Run and pursue righteous living. What is right? Run and pursue faithfulness. Run and pursue love. Run and pursue peace. And then he says what? Where's the next verb? He says, enjoy. Enjoy companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Enjoy good community. If you lie with dog, you'll catch fleas. Enjoy good community. Who should it be with? The companionship of those who call on the name of Jesus. The last thing he has in a verb there is don't get involved. Make smart decisions, he says. Don't get involved in those foolish, ignorant arguments. They waste your time and energy. Timothy, my son, can you hear him? Can you almost kind of see him? I know he's a long way away physically, but can you kind of see him as like the wizened father who's been through lots of things, and he kind of through the ages he extends his arm around Timothy. Timothy, my son, if you do these things, it will make a difference. If you do these things, it'll bring honor to God. You'll be a utensil that God will use in real ways. It'll bring change and hope for your life and impact those who are around you. Do your best. Avoid. Keep yourself pure. Run. Pursue. Enjoy. Don't get involved. And I know that as I just share here this morning, that amongst us all, there are so many different challenges for each one of us. Timothy had his particular ones that he faced. Some of us live in a place in our lives where we encounter outright hostility. Some of you are in workplaces where it's really difficult for you to live your faith out. Some of you are in homes where it's not easy. Some of you are in relationships where it's very difficult and you encounter outright hostility. Some of us, we live in a place where we have this temptation to compromise in our life. Got struggles within us, struggles with our identity, might be struggles with addiction to porn or alcohol or whatever it might be, to greed. Some of us here are dealing with our opposition of our baggage Some of us have a past, and that past contains many hurts, contains lots of fear. Maybe for some of us there's a pain and a grief that's a part of that. And that's the challenges that we face. Listen to the voice of Paul encouraging you through the ages. Can you hear it? Can you hear it saying, keep on going? Can you hear him saying to you, persist? Can you hear him, endure? Keep on going. Because to make a difference, we need to have that consistency between our lives and what we say. Let me pray. For our God, we thank you that you are the God of the ages. You are the God of the times of celebration and joy. You are the God who also walks with us through the pain and the temptation and the trial and the struggle. You're the God that calls each one of us to yourself, calls us to live as your children, live in such a way that brings joy and hope to others, live in such a way that brings change. And you know what it is to do that through the midst of struggle and pain. Jesus was the one who walked alongside people who betrayed him. He was the one who encountered pain and tears and loss. He was the one who was betrayed. He knows what it is to walk in that pain. And you call us to continue to follow him in that. You call us to endure, to keep on going. And so, our God, from our hearts, we cry out to you, God, we want to continue to follow you. We want to continue to do our best. And we do so through the power of your Spirit and in your Son's name. Amen. Just a reminder, if you haven't taken the opportunity, please do so to grab a hold of one of the books and write the notes for Ben and Megan over there. That would be fantastic if you could do that. There's going to be some barbecue stuff available afterwards, but also we're going to be coming back in here, numbers of us to come back in here to pray. That will be at 11:30. So if you want to join us for that, please do so. We'll be continuing to lift up the church community to God as we pray together. I trust as we go into this week that in whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever challenge that you are facing, whether it's in work or in home or in your personal life, that the words of Paul will ring in your head. Do your best. Keep on going. And as you do so, know that you do so in the power and love of God. Amen.